Okay. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for March 15th, 2016. The time right now is 7:12 p.m. Miss Baker, please call the roll.
Council members.
Present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Scarborough.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You'll note on the agenda that we have an executive session listed. We do not have a need for an executive session this evening, so we will now move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet. Has anybody signed in? And nobody has signed in. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward to speak tonight? And Ms. Hendrickson? No. Okay, there's nobody here to come forward. So we'll now move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda. I'm sorry, what did I say?
The first. Look alike, but it was Hanford.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant Councilmember Hanford. Did I say Councilmember Cutaback? I'm very sorry. So the first was from Councilmember Hanford. The second was from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. We're now going to move on to new business. This is new business item number one, AB 16034, discussion Roosevelt Water. Mr. Feilberg.
Councilmember Hanford.
He's talking to you now.
Thank you.
We're just changing names this evening. Sorry, everybody.
You get to be the lawyer again.
The pointer thing is here.
What?
The pointer is
here. It's right here.
Oh, okay. There we go. Thank you. Okay, as you may know, the Roosevelt Water Association has a water association, which is a privately owned organization to the west and north of us. So basically it's north of Highway 2, west of Roosevelt Road, and then it kind of wraps around the top of us, so Robin Hood area is in their water service area. So in that area, the city, this is Highway 2, this is Roosevelt Road, El Lago is there, the new Tractor Supply is there. So the pink area is what is within the city of Monroe's water service area. These area boundaries were established in the early 1990s when the North Snohomish Critical Water Supply Plan was written and all the water purveyors got together and decided where the boundaries were. The city of Monroe did not have water pipes in this area at that time, but since it was in our urban growth area, it was decided that we would have that as our service area sometime in the future, with the understanding that it would be served by Roosevelt Water Association until such time as all pipes got to that area. With the development of Bear Mountain here and Evergreen Heights here, we have brought water pipes out to that area, and the Roosevelt Water Association has come to us and said, hey, you're putting your water pipes next to our water pipes. We need to work on this because we're concerned about damage and things like that. So we met with their board and the residents who live in that area and took to them a couple of proposals of what could possibly be done.
Status quo.
The first one and the most immediate thing is, since we are now serving the customers in these developments here, is to, rather than having two parallel pipes with our pipe serving customers on the east side of the road and their pipe serving customers on the west side of the road, is to have this portion of their service area annexed or incorporated into the City of Monroe's water service area. We would take over the existing pipe and replace it when it needed to be replaced, and they would continue to serve north of there on the west side in the short term. That's the short-term option that we have in there as our preferred alternative. The other one also is the ability just that they would continue to serve on the west side, we would continue to serve on the east side. It's a long-term solution. is the city's preferred alternative is to take over everything that's south of the highway to bypass right-of-way. And that's also the extent of the city's current city limits, the urban growth area, and our current water service area. So we would take over the pipe that's in Roosevelt Road, serve customers on both sides, and as development took off up that road, improve the pipe, putting in a new pipe from the old asbestos concrete pipe that is in there now. Other things that could happen in the long term is that we just continue to serve each water district, serve their individual sites is the other option. So we took that to the board and the neighbors who live in that area on February 29th. Yes, February 29th. They thanked us for our time and said they're looking into it, and they are going to discuss it with their legal counsel and amongst the board, and then decide what they would like to respond to us with. So that was just an update so you know that what is happening out there.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, the Highway 2 is the white line?
Highway 2 is that line there, yes.
And why are we doing everything on this side of the Highway 2? No.
The blue stuff?
Yeah. Why are we on the left of Highway 2 when there's nothing there but the old Diamond M farm?
Basically, Diamond M is currently served by Roosevelt Water Association. So if we took over their pipe there, we'd have to serve them too because they wouldn't be able to get water. So the idea of us expanding to take both sides of Roosevelt Road so we don't have the duplicate pipes running next to each other, one serving one side of the road and one serving the other side of the road.
And this is your preferred,
this is the city's preferred alternative, yeah.
And it only differs from the first?
This is long term because nothing has happened up here yet.
Uh-huh.
And so right now there is the...
So we go almost out to the Roosevelt store.
Yeah, well, it's about halfway to the Roosevelt store.
Sure.
Yeah. So the Roosevelt store is about there.
This is the first proposal, and the second one is the preferred.
This is for the short term.
Mm-hmm.
To do that now, because that's where we're having double water lines down here right now, because that's where the development is.
So
get that solved, and then...
Is there a cost of this to us, or is it an advantage for us to serve those people?
We don't know if there's a cost because they haven't said that we'll, you know, sell it to you. We'll just let you take it over. The water line does need to be replaced, mm-hmm. and it's probably not a great advantage to take it over. It's basically better business in the water system to have one water line there rather than alternating water lines either side of the street.
Okay.
So, and then the reason we need to continue to, they did mention that we should give up this to them and let Roosevelt Water Association have all that, and that's a non-starter for us, is because the idea is to have the stuff that is inside the city of Monroe for development in the future, have the city control whether or not development go in, as opposed to someone comes in with us a plat and then the water purveyor, if somebody else says, oh, sorry, you can't develop there, we can't serve it with water.
And just to reinforce, the pink area is our current water service area. As those properties turn over into subdivisions, that's where we end up serving them. And as part of what we talked about also on the 29th was giving folks the option of connecting into the city water system. Is that
correct? Yeah.
That are up to the point where the subdivisions are being built today. The Seattle Pacific.
So if I understand it correctly, that they came to us and said we don't particularly. Did I interrupt you?
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We don't particularly want to put one pipe next to another pipe, and we went back to them and said this is what we prefer, and they said we'll think about it and give you a price.
Yeah. You know, when we did this with Sky Meadow Water Association, we actually took over the entire Water Association, which we did mention to them, and they weren't happy with that, is that basically it was at no cost, because even though they're, they own, each individual person owns a member, rather than paying them for it and then going back and charging them to join our water system, we just call it a wash. We don't pay them anything. The new customers, when they come over to us, don't pay their capital improvement charges to buy into our system. So that's what we're hoping, but we haven't heard back from them of whether there will be a cost or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Piggybacking on Councilmember Scarborough's questions, what's the advantage to the city?
The water line that's currently out there is on the east side of Roosevelt Road, so it is an impediment to our serving it because it's in the way. So basically...
I'm sorry, their water line?
Yes.
It's on the east side of the road?
On the east side of the road.
Which means that we can't serve our customers on the east side of the road?
We'd have to put it really close to there, which then has problems with their water line.
Okay.
It's an old water line, when you get really close to work on it.
Right.
You know, you have a possibility of breaking it, or we put it on the west side of the road, and then we have our services going over theirs, and their services going over ours. So operationally and functionally, it's better to have it inside our water service area.
Okay, that makes sense. Is this is also part of any future annexation? I mean, looking at the bigger diagram here.
Not currently.
Not currently what?
The urban growth area and the city limits are at the same, actually down here, at the same spot right now.
Okay.
So there is no urban growth area in that direction right now. There's urban rural-urban transition, mm-hmm. but not urban growth area.
Okay, so there's, it's just the piping. That's the major advantage to
yes.
this plan.
Yeah.
No future annexation. What about water service and water rates? Are they paying, do they pay more outside
of the city? Outside the city, there's 1.5 times, yes.
Okay, and is that less than what they'd be paying to Roosevelt?
It depends on how much water they use. So if you're using less than, if I recall correctly, 600 cubic feet per month, mm-hmm. it's cheaper to be in city or pay city water rates than Roosevelt water rates.
Okay. If Roosevelt comes back and says, no, we don't want to do this, mm-hmm. then we're back to then plan B.
It's one water line and one, you know, two water lines next to each other, one serving the east, one serving the west.
Now, is there any liability having water lines cross over each other?
Only in the instance of when you're installing a water line and the other one breaks, mm-hmm. then you have to decide whose fault it is. Is it just because it's old, or was it because the, you know, backhoe operator got too close and measured right. a little bit?
Okay. Mr. Brazel, and then Councilmember, you still have the floor.
And just to clarify, everything in the pink inside our water service area, mm-hmm. we have a duty to serve those customers, and that's per the coordinated water service or water system plan, just so everybody understands that right. we do have that duty to serve. So.
Councilmember Kemp?
Thinking. I think that'll do for now. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, can you go back to the short-term option? So on the cover sheet, mm-hmm. I can get a sense of which one is it, A, B, or C? Is it B?
That picture is, no.
C?
That's C is C. What, is what
okay.
that would do.
Okay, yeah. So that's your preferred is C on this, and your preferred on two is the single main B.
Yes,
for the
correct.
Long term.
Yeah.
Okay, so the short-term solution would be a time frame of what?
As fast as we get it through the process.
But until
so
what?
It's like probably 18 months, and then... Depending on how, and then during that time period, we also be negotiating with them to do the rest of it. So.
Okay, so that was my question. Are we setting in this negotiation a short-term solution and negotiating a long-term at the same time?
It depends on what they come back with.
Okay, so we can do this independently. We could do this first step and not do a long-term solution?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And then it would just, well, long-term solution would be then parallel mains.
Okay.
If they don't want to do anything.
If they don't want to do
yeah.
anything more than
right.
this. Okay. And then replacing a water line, like you were saying, they weren't in good shape, and that ultimately we might have to replace that. What's something like that cost?
I was saying, good luck if you don't have
it. Just did that bit. It's probably about $120 a foot.
And how many feet are there?
700 right now, I think, is the short-term one.
So it's pretty
yeah.
like, pricey
yeah.
undertaking. And is that something we could take on capitally?
Yeah. I mean, it just become into part of our system.
The water system.
The water system, just like all the, yeah, all the pipes that we need to have to be replaced on our schedule with the rest
sure.
of the system. Yes.
But it is a... It seemed like when we negotiated that other water agreement, we got something.
We got a little bit of money out of it.
Out of it to help know that we had to replace.
They had like $60,000 left in their bank account at the end.
And that's what we got.
And we took that over, yeah.
Okay. On this last part of the cover sheet, talks about that they hadn't been paying the utility tax requirement. People that are in their service area but who are using City of Monroe water.
People who are in City of Monroe.
Area, right.
No, the City of Monroe.
Okay, in the City of Monroe.
That are using their water have to pay utility tax, just like the people in the City of Monroe that use natural gas.
They have to pay utility tax to us.
To us, yes.
So is that the customer who owes us?
No,
or
that's the company that owes it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do it retro, it sounds like.
No,
we're going to do it moving forward.
Moving forward, yeah.
Okay.
So basically, the people who live on the east side of Roosevelt Road, who are hooked up to Roosevelt Water Association, those sales, Roosevelt Water Association has to pay tax to the city.
Pay tax to the city. That might be it for now. I mean, the next steps are going back to the board and them looking at.
Basically, it's waiting for them to respond.
To respond, and then you'd bring that back to us, and then we would see from there. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Okay, when you said plan two is running our own pipe parallel to or on the other side of the road. If we do that, will we go out to the city limits or will we go to the end of your pink line now?
Well, the pink line, the pink area is city limits. That's the first city limits goes. Basically, what would happen is as developers went in, we'd say you need to bring water to your farm.
So we just encompass those developments that are going in there now.
Okay. Yeah. So it just depends on the closest person develops first or the farthest person develops first.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I'm clear. So the pink area is the city.
Is also the city in that area. Well, east of here is city limits.
That is the city limits. Okay. And currently that is being served by the city or by Roosevelt?
No, it's currently being served by Roosevelt.
So we're going to have to serve them anyway.
As water lines go out there, yes.
Okay.
So the understanding of that back in the early 90s was that they'd serve them until development happened. The developer would put the new water main in, and then we serve them after that.
So if water main were to fail today,
yes,
would we be responsible for replacing the water? Roosevelt would be responsible for replacing it.
Yes.
And we would be paying for it. Roosevelt would be paying.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. The short and long term look like the best options. I can't imagine two water lines running down, and as development continues to happen, the possibility of the breakages and finger pointing by multiple contractors. So that makes the most sense for sure.
All right, so we will be back before council when we hear something from the Roosevelt Water Association. In the meantime, council's been briefed, so if you hear something, you've got some background on it, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. And thank you, Mr. Feilberg. The next item on the agenda is final action number one. This is AB 16035, approval of downtown events and public art policies. And Mr. Brazel will be taking this one this evening.
Wow. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, this was talked about last week. Mike did an introduction for you. You've had time to review it. So the requested action this evening is to move to approve the downtown events waiver policy for services and public art policy. And I'm open for questions.
Is there a motion or questions? Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I move to approve the downtown events waiver policy for city services and public art policy.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Kemp, a second from Councilmember Cutaback to approve the downtown events waiver policy for the city of for city services and public art policy. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is council member reports. Let's go ahead and start off with the committee reports. City Council Legislative Affairs Committee, council member Kemp.
Thank you, Mayor. You do have a copy in your folder of the council rules and procedure updates that the legislative committee has been reviewing. This is more of an informational thing to keep you aware of what we're working on, and if anybody has any questions.
Are there any questions for this Legislative Affairs Committee?
I think there's one thing, and this came as kind of a surprise, the at-large council position, I wasn't aware, but we have to look at converting it from a two-year to a four-year. Is there, I'm just curious, is there any time limit?
I'm going to let Mr. Brazel.
I know this will come up in the committee as well, but I'm just curious for the council.
To my understanding, there is not a time limit, but it is something that we want to continue to actively work on.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
Any questions for the Legislative Affairs Committee? Thank you very much for your report.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and move on to the Snohomish Health District Board of Directors, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. So tonight we had our, I guess, annual or semi-annual retreat in addition to our normal business meeting. Sorry, just coming from the meeting, I'm still on information overload here. But just to kind of summarize or highlight 2 points of the meeting, there was good discussion on an ongoing discussion that's happening within the health board about pharmaceutical stewardship, and it's in regards to our drug take-back program. And the discussion from the health board is that, I mean, currently the county has places throughout the county where people can take their expired and unused drugs and properly dispose of them. I believe our police department might be one of them.
We have one in our police lobby.
Okay. And so the discussion is that instead of the county and our municipalities funding that, then to require the pharmaceutical companies to chip in and essentially fund the take back programs. And, you know, it's still in for discussion. The idea behind it is that it kind of takes the county off of the financial picture of it, just in staff time alone, that to service the program could save anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 a year. Of course, there's pushback from the pharmaceutical companies and concern that the cost involved with serving that is going to be passed on into the cost of the medications. You know, it depends on what side you talk to, that number can vary. So it's an ongoing discussion. Nothing's been decided yet. But from a county standpoint and the committee serving that, that's one area that they're very interested in, is putting some of that ownership or that onus, the financial onus, back on the pharmaceutical companies. The other big item that we discussed was a strategic plan to transition WIC and First Steps out of the health district and into our community partners such as CMAR and First Steps. This came about of a discussion last year, as I understand, in regards to, you know, how to cut costs within the health district and move services around, basically trying to make a financial decision. That was quite frankly it was our entire work session is what we discussed today, but the presenters were really wanting a decision by next month as far as reaching out and actively pursuing a transition plan or an RFP, as they kept coming back to, someone to take over, or agency or agencies to take over the WIC and First Step programs. From my point, as I communicated to the rest of the board, is this is coming at many of us relatively new. There's 8 new board members on the Snohomish County Health Board, and to many of us, this is some of the first times we're hearing about this. So a little bit over, like I said, data overwhelmed, information overwhelmed, but you know, my big concern is that knowing that a lot of our residents here in Monroe, as well as the other communities that surround us that I serve, depend on the WIC and First Step services. One of the big questions I had was, will the level of service maintain or even improve? And that was one thing that couldn't be answered tonight. So I hope by the time it comes back up for discussion and a vote on April 12th, I'll have a little more comfort in that. My question for this council, and I will be asking the other councils I serve or represent on the health board, as far as, you know, your thoughts, your opinions on WIC services, First Steps, and being served through the health district, you know, what questions would you have? You know, is it level services a cost? Essentially, from the county's perspective or the health board's perspective, it would be a cost savings, but there would still be a substantial financial investment into it. So, as it was made perfectly clear, it's not the cure all for the health district's finance, but it does help. It would potentially have a reduction in FTE, albeit small, but nonetheless, it is a reduction of FTE as it's laid out, as it's proposed to us anyway at this point. So there's a lot of factors going into this, a lot of things to weigh in on. Obviously for me, there's a lot more information that I need to gather before I'm gonna be willing to take a vote next month. But I would really enjoy hearing from everyone up here, staff and members of our community on the services provided and what questions you would have if that transition did happen. Other than that, that is the report I have from the health district.
Okay. So was there information that they handed out this evening that could be put into the packets for next week?
Yes, I did send the link to Liz.
Perfect.
A few days ago. If I can certainly send it again. But
we'll follow up with Liz and have the link sent out to the council members, and then we'll make certain that it's in the report for next week. Staff will take a look at it, and we'll go from there.
Excellent. Thank
you. So you have until April?
April 12th is the next meeting.
Okay.
And there was discussion about having special meetings between now and then, just to, for other members like myself, particularly the new ones that are trying to fact gather as fast as we can on this, to have those discussions. But
okay.
At this point, the next meeting's April 12th.
You might want to loop in the school district too?
Absolutely.
Councilmember Kent?
Thank you. I was just wondering if it'd be possible to have a list of questions, if you'd email it out, or can city staff and have them send it out?
Sure.
To some of the questions that you I like our comment on?
Yeah, I can compile a list of questions.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. All right, anything else for Councilmember Rasmussen? Chief, one question. There was discussion apparently about the pharmaceuticals. The drug box that we have, the medication box that we have, do we pay for the service to?
No.
Okay.
No.
How does that work here?
The Snohomish County Drug Task Force picks it up. The drugs and takes them for disposal.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you, Chief. With the drop box that we have here at the police station, would you say it's pretty well used or rarely used, or what's the?
It is. If I remember the statistics, in 2014 it was like 500 times or deposits by people, and in 15 it had dropped significantly. It was down in, I believe, 300 range. But every drop box they had
was down in 2015, and I don't know why.
Okay.
But it's been used quite a bit.
Okay.
And Council, a couple weeks ago, I put in Monroe This Week an article about it, and we also posted on the city's Facebook page that we had it. So we are trying to get the word out there that we do have this service that we provide. It's part of managing chemical dependency here in our community and a safer way to dispose of drugs anyway. Councilmember Hanford.
So just to clarify, that's even for expired prescriptions, things like that?
That's exactly what it's for.
Okay.
A lot of people have expired prescriptions, prescriptions that they were prescribed for, say, an injury. They no longer utilize the prescriptions. All they have to do is bring them in. There's a bags provided plus documents. They sign on it, their name, and drop it in the bag, and they deposit it in the big box that we have there. Our personnel, they don't touch it at all. It's all done by the person depositing the drugs. And then I think it's once a quarter, the member from the drug task force comes by and picks it up.
It might be worth mentioning when we do our May cleanup that either bring that up there and people can dump those while they're there, or just mention we won't be accepting, you know, medications, but the police department does all the time, or something like that.
Yep, we can do that.
We would rather not move it around.
We're not going to
figure it.
Yeah.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Chief, with our Dropbox, and it was a little vague in the meeting, the Dropbox that we currently have, it's for prescription drugs only.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so for the council's information, as part of the discussion as far as the pharmacy school's stewardship, is the drug take-back program would also include over-the-counter medications. Because anymore we're getting into the gray areas. You go to the Fred Meyer and purchase Allegra. You know, it's not prescription, but it's not necessarily over the counter either, because you got to go to take the card to the pharmacy. So so it's going to incorporate all medications. Just things we're talking numbers from the county perspective. In 2013, the county collected 7,098 pounds through the drug take back program, and then in 2014, 8,036 pounds. And the trend, just as Chief mentioned for Monroe, there was a significant drop in 2015. Not sure why, and they didn't provide us any up-to-date numbers on that, but just to kind of give you an idea on countywide where we're at.
Okay, thank you. All right, anything further? All right, let's go down the line for Councilmember reports. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nothing to report that you probably won't talk about.
Okay, thank you.
On the ball field.
Councilmember Davis.
I was happy to be able to make the ribbon cutting the other day, although it was chilly.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with the field. Glad to see that. And the other thing is I will be absent next week.
Okay, we'll mark you down as being absent next week. Thank you, Councilmember Davis. Councilmember Camp.
Certainly. I'd like to echo those comments about the field and the ribbon cutting. It was a lot of fun, and it was very cold, and I heard reports of snow down in Tacoma.
Wow.
Interesting. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, the ribbon cutting was awesome yesterday. Worth being out in the cold for. I stuck around and watched the first inning, and Bearcats were up 3-0 on their home turf and after the first inning, so I figured it was a pretty safe win at that point, and so I had to go home and see the family. But it was great to be there. I'm thrilled that we have this field in our community now, and it's just awesome. So last week I mentioned that there was going to be a dodgeball tournament in town that was going to be epic, and I can tell you it was. So other than that, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, a couple things. So we had last Wednesday night, I attended the community caring celebration at Xfinity Arena and was so proud of my city to see the City of Monroe staff, Denise Jacobson and Sherry Hurst. And, they were both there, received the award for the campaign for the city. United Way campaign for the city for, what was that, medium-sized businesses, I think it was. And then to see the superintendent receive that from Monroe Public Schools as well. And so it was a lot of fun to see Monroe being recognized there, so that was great. The next morning I attended the Affordable Housing Breakfast in Everett, and it was very interesting to hear how the city of Bellingham addressed affordable housing and bypassing a levy in their city to purchase and build affordable housing right downtown there. And as we know, this is a challenge that everyone is struggling with, not just Monroe, but so just gonna continue to think creatively and think outside the box. And it's good to keep that on our minds.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. Let's go ahead to staff. Mr. Worthen? Okay. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing today.
Mr. Osaki?
Nothing
today. Okay. Mr. Frauberg?
Nothing today.
Chief Quinzer? All right. Let's come on up here. Real quick, for me, Monroe this week there has got just your usual bits and pieces of highlights. One thing that's new is that we did, and this being me and Council Member Feilberg, no, Mr. Brazel.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah. So Mr. Brazel and I went and met with the Snohomish County Executive's Office and the Governor's Office and DOT on Friday at the county and talked with them a little bit about the next steps on 522. And the county expressed an interest in maybe helping to fund about $100,000 in match dollars for a PSRC grant. They're looking to make up for the 12.5% matching grant that's necessary for the PSRC countywide grant application, up to another $400,000 on top of that. So DOT was going to, staff was going to go back and talk with the managers about where funds like that might come forward for a grant application through PSRC, the funds of which would be used for the more detailed design that comes after what the legislature has currently has in the supplemental transportation budget. So we are taking steps to what comes next, and I was very pleased with the meeting on Friday and am looking forward to hearing from DOT. So if we don't get it this grant cycle, then the next grant cycle for PSRC is about 2 years from now. There are, of course, a number of different grants we can apply for, or that the county or the state can apply for. And as one staff member put it on Friday, it's kind of like going to the casino, and you just keep popping in applications, and over time, you might get a big win on a grant, or it may be a bunch of different grants that are smaller that you piece together to get the work done. But the county was there and was working on behalf of our residents and the residents of our valley on Friday, and I appreciated that. Does anybody have any questions for me about that? All right. On Thursday night, I attended the Housing Hope fundraiser. There were over 200 people in attendance. To date, Housing Hope has built about 196 units in the Sky Valley, and most of those units are in Monroe for affordable housing. Their focus is more with people that have families. I know that there's been talk of the Housing First model that Councilmember Camp and I have heard about through Snohomish County Cities, and that model is as I understand it, is more oriented toward singles, so rather than people with kids, so that's a slightly different approach. Housing Hope now has what's called HopeWorks. HopeWorks, they have four business lines, if you will. They call them enterprises. One is Cafe Works, one is Water Works, one is a landscaping works, and the other one is Renew Works, where they sell used furniture. And what they're doing is they're teaching people that live in their facilities skills, job skills. So in addition to life skills that they're teaching, you know, soft skills, they're also teaching people how to, you know, how to cook, how to sell, how to do landscaping work, and so on. And that's just a real blessing to have in our community and in our county. You'll notice also in Monroe this week, we have a piece about a 12-year-old tailor who had saved his father's life on March 10th. You've got more information there that you can take a look at if you'd like, and that's a wonderful thing that he was able to do. And then this evening we had Adam was celebrating his 5 years at Adams, and I was able to attend. Had a wonderful roast pig, and anyway, there were a lot of people there. It was a really nice celebration as I was leaving there to come to this meeting. Last night, of course, it was great seeing. We had a really good picture that's in Facebook, and also that Chris Hendrickson took of six council members and the mayor there, and that was really cool having that presentation. And I'd like to find a way to go ahead and Photoshop your picture in there, Kevin. It's a nice picture.
I saw it and I was very bummed to miss.
Yeah,
I was thinking of you guys.
Yeah, and then I think it's about it. Got other meetings this week that I'll report out in Monroe this week for next week. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right, let's go ahead and move. Oh, the East County Campus Advisory Board meeting. Mr. Brazel and I attended that last week. This is the East County Everett Community College Campus Advisory Board meeting. We basically went around and got updates, and they're working on replacing Rob Prosh with a new director for that facility. And so those would be some of the high points of the meeting. All right. Mr. Brazel, you want to take us through the next items?
We've got the lobbyist report. I'm open to field any questions. I'm going to be talking with Brian tomorrow to kind of get a game plan of where to go from here. Now the session's getting ready to close out and get ready for your update for next week. So a lot of last minute jockeying on different items such as MRSC and the Left One program. I believe those are back in, the last I heard. So at any rate, we will have a complete report for you next week on that. And the draft agenda for March 22nd, 2016. Got Councilmember Davis shown as absent under announcements and presentations. We have the 2015 Police Department Employee Awards. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we have authorized additional position development review engineer. Be talking about an ordinance that amends the transportation impact fees. That's first reading. And then we, under staff reports, we will be talking about land sales update. I gave council an email this afternoon, and so we'll report out on where we're at on that next week. Any additions or deletions?
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I need to apologize right now to Chief, because I will not be attending this next week's meeting. I'm really bummed because that's one of my favorite council meetings of the year. But my wife and I will be celebrating our 25th anniversary that day.
Congratulations.
So I won't be here. So, sorry, Chief.
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. So the staff report, you mentioned the North Kelsey. That's when you're going to report?
It will.
Oh, okay. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. All right, anything further for the for next week's agenda? Mr. Breslin? Are there any comments or questions on the extended agenda? Okay. Is there any other business for this evening? Okay, there's no other business this evening. Councilmember Cutterback.
I just had a couple questions about the finance report, just two. Everybody's getting ready to leave. So, Diane, just the miscellaneous revenue, there's a big increase from 2015 to 16. What is that?
On the general fund?
Yeah.
I do not know off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. It's just, and then where, and I know, where are we compared to budget right now? Are we looking good compared
we're
to budget?
Target, yeah.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
I'll find out about the miscellaneous.
Yeah, it was just, it was about $20,000 more than last year, so just curious.
It's probably like a judgment settlement or something.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further?
Nope.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay, I understand that.
Do that.
Councilmember Cutterback made a motion to adjourn. The second was from, who was the second? Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.